Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we journey in this world and in the Word towards the cross and the open tomb of Jesus, we take a stop today in chapter 13 of Luke's Gospel in the second Sunday of Lent, our Gospel-appointed reading for today. And here we can discern in four verses of Scripture the plot of the Bible, the purpose of Jesus, and God's plan for Christ's coming passion. In short, the plot, the purpose, and the plan. First, the plot. What is the overarching plot of the Bible? You can discern it right here in four verses. Well, before we reveal what that is and think about that, I just remember a little bit what a plot is. This past Friday night, my family and I watched a movie that everybody was telling us we had to watch. It was a PG-13 movie, so we put the younger two to bed, and Sophia and Kate and Gretchen and I sat down to watch a movie. It's written, and not written, but it was produced by and starred Mark Wahlberg. It was called Instant Family. Have you heard of it? And the plot was this. A couple finds themselves in over their heads when they foster three children. Plenty of fodder for comedy, and that's what this movie was, a comedy. And with any good comedy, there were touching moments. There was heartache. There was heartbreak. There were tears, both of sadness and of joy, in this Instant Family. And we spent 2 hours watching the movie. Good entertainment. Many familiar things for those who foster, who have ever considered fostering, a good movie to watch. Or another movie I know, or not movie, a TV series that many of you have watched. It's called Longmire. Mike and Deb Wales have met the author of the books, which are even better than the TV series, Craig Johnson. And you may know that plot. A Wyoming sheriff and his friends solve murder mysteries and unveils humanity's worst and best about themselves. Interesting plot. Yeah. You see, the plot is the synopsis of the story. A compact way of telling what it's all about from a bird's eye point of view. We all benefit from knowing the grand scheme, the plot, or else we're stuck in the long mire of life, and we seem to forget the forest through the trees, you might say. We can't laugh at life sometimes, right? Sometimes when your daily tasks are repetitive and you're slogging through life, it helps if someone reminds you of the bigger picture, the why, and the promise of the end goal. You're not just laboring in vain. So in just four verses of Holy Scripture today, Luke chapter 13, we can discern the plot or God's grand scheme as it relates to our lives. And the plot is this. God will triumph over evil, or good will triumph over evil, but not without the death of Jesus in Jerusalem. That's really the overall plot of the Bible. Good will triumph over evil, but not without the death of Christ Jesus in Jerusalem. The text reveals that Jesus was fully aware of what he was about to do, die for the sins of the people. Way back in Luke chapter 13 and in other places, he reveals that he knows what's coming. And he wasn't afraid of dying anywhere except in the place where God appointed him to die, and that's Jerusalem. Herod, the antagonist of the text today, had a plot to kill Jesus. And he sent Pharisees, or Pharisees came and said, Herod wants to kill you, because Herod feared the consequences of letting Jesus live. Herod could lose power and status because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, people were fearing God more than they feared Herod in Israel or Caesar in Rome. Our catechism likewise teaches us to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, not men, not mere mortals. So Jesus knew Herod was powerless to do to him any harm until Jesus would arrive in the holy city. So fearless is he that even flaunted it in Herod's face. He said, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and I perform cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my course. He's flaunting it in Herod's face that he's going to keep doing what he's doing today and tomorrow. And on the third day, he's even prophesying about something to come. That's when he'll finish his course. Nevertheless, he says, I must go on my way today and tomorrow. See, he's doing it again. And the day following that, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. God's plot of good triumphing over evil has a specific location in mind, as well as a specific person to accomplish it. The climax of God's plot, of course, Christ Jesus' death and resurrection in Jerusalem. And that helps communicate something to us about our lives. We have a specific destination to go to, too, because of the Son's all-availing sacrifice and work for us on the cross and by his open tomb. We, too, will be in the heavenly Jerusalem. Our death has everything to do with Jerusalem, too, where God triumphs over evil eternally. Because of this, we, too, need not fear death and devil, and may, like Jesus, even flaunt God's plot in the devil's face. Go and tell that fox, the devil, I am baptized. The death that I die at God's appointed time is but a portal to God's holy city above, Jerusalem, the golden. I know the grand plot of God. It all relates to him who loved me and gave his life for me and united his death on the cross and his resurrection from the open tomb to my body and to your body in your baptism. What can men do to us, you might ask? Secondly, we hear the purpose of Jesus in this text too. In the text, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, Jesus, how often would have I gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is forsaken. Jesus' purpose, you might say here, is that of a prophet, right? He's prophesying or lamenting the city. He, as God's appointed one, would gather them together, all those who need God, who need his help and his power. But even people in the holiest city in the world would rather have it their way. They will resist God. They will resist Jesus. You know, and he comes to the city. They'll praise him as he enters, but by the end of the week, they'll put him up on a tree. They'll resist him. They'll stone. They'll kill the prophets who proclaim the truth. We do well to remember that man's will is by nature opposed to God's will. Until Jesus comes and by his gracious invitation wakes us up to see his motherly compassion, God's will for good, not for our harm, that he longs to gather us in order to rescue us from sin and death. In a way, any foster family can relate. In that way, the movie Instant Family got it right. Foster families, like God, see things that will make for and long to give young hens a better future. In whatever way of that must be, even through the sting of rejection and opposed to the natural desires to be with or to be somewhere else. From Jesus, we learn to stay the course and remain compassionate, and to embody forgiveness, to empty oneself to provide for another who cannot yet see the Master's plot. And we learn to speak in code. For when Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would gather you, but you would not, he is really saying, oh, you bunch of hard-headed sinners. If God were merely an angry judge, we'd just destroy you right now. But behold, I come to you in the flesh, with all the power to do miracles in order to die for you, that you might live, that these foster children, you might say, might become his adopted family through his own flesh and blood on the cross shed for you. This is God's purpose in his Son, Christ Jesus, to call the lost, to gather them into his family, his kingdom, but has no end. Finally, in the text today, we are reminded of God's plan, of which we've largely covered already, but the final verse in our text today says, I tell you, you will not see me, Jesus speaking, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I interpret this as God's plan in two ways. Number one, Jesus is referring to his triumphal entry at the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. Because he had just raised Lazarus back to life, people came to Jerusalem and were praising Jesus and putting their coats down and grabbing palm branches and praising him. And they were saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So he was really prophesying about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem when he would come there to die. You won't see me. In fact, he was on his final journey to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to visit again until Palm Sunday, until the week that starts the final week of his life and the new life and the resurrection. So that's one way he meant it. The other way, you might say, was something he's relating to us now. You will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's teaching us something about our lives, right here and now. I'm not talking about future heaven, that's some code word that we have to say and then he'll appear. But rather, as we slog through life without seeing the grand scheme every day, we forget God's plot and the purpose and his plans due to sin, due to our blindness, and due to the evil that's all around us and the evil that is within us. Jesus yet comes in our liturgy, that is, he comes in his word, and as we sing and we prepare to approach his table, every Sunday we have as part of our text in the scriptures, in the hymnal, the Sanctus. And we sing, holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Despite our blindness and sin, we repent, we praise God, and God comes to our church. Comes, we can't yet see him, but graciously he is there poured out for us in the forgiveness of sins, and we perceive his presence, graciously given into your hands and taken into your mouths to bring you up out of your spiritual darkness and death, and remember your destination, the final goal, the heavenly Jerusalem, where you will see him. You will see God face to face. So it is true. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for they shall see God. In Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.